It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as Black.
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex in Hip Hop Circles, and you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And once again, I have a special guest, a guy who I've been on his podcast, but I have finally gotten the chance here to return the favor. And so we got Mr. Peter Palmiotti here. How you doing, man?
Hello, hello. Great to be here, finally. And thank you so much, Marshall. Absolutely. You're really doing a great job with your podcast, so it's pleasure is all mine.
Thanks. I mean, we tend to share the same interviewees half the time, so we happen to run in the same circles, and hey, that's cool. We can get like a little bit of different perspective each time and kind of trade them back and forth. it's like trading cards or something, baseball cards.
Yeah, it's like we're late night talk show guys and switching guests around.
Absolutely. All right, so, well, I guess we'll start off by just let everybody know a little bit about what you're about. I mean, a lot of the people who listen to this probably already know, but there's a few who maybe don't. So, yeah, let everybody know your sites and, you know, what you're doing.
Okay, well, I'm Peter Palmiotti. I've been in the comic industry since 1991, mostly as an inker for many years, working for a wide range of independent comic book publishers, but have also worked for the big two. I'm still mostly known for like my first major gig with DC, which was Aquaman, back when Peter David was writing it, and Aquaman had a hook. Cal Fury was the penciler on that. I did like 24 issues, something like that, on that. Yeah, you know, I've been inking for many years and always want to do my own creations, finally getting around to doing that. So I got a couple of webcomics slowly dealing out pages, one called Bright Eyes, one called Neon Eden, kind of different kind of stories. And it's hard to, like, pitch them, but go read them, and you'll figure it out eventually what the hell they are up to.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't need to have a fancy pitch. I mean, that's the thing. If you can just get people to read the story, then they'll get hooked, you know?
Yeah.
So that's cool, man. Yeah, you got a lot of projects going, and you're always juggling a lot of projects. So how is this, you've been doing the 100 days like I haven't been doing, and a lot of other people have been doing. I haven't been keeping up, but I'm going to get back on it. I'm definitely going to complete the 100, but it might take me a while.
Yeah, that would be
But you've been doing that and stuff, so where are you at right now as far as progress? Because I haven't had a lot of time to check out the videos, to be honest, but everybody else can find out too.
Yeah, as of today, I'm at day 90, so I don't have much more to go. I think, like, Jamie Gamble is the next one to reach 100 days, and I believe he finishes his on Tuesday. Then I'm next up, and I'll finish mine on the 7th. Then Scott Cirklin finishes a day after. There's also a girl, Boots and Bats, Elena, I believe is her name. She finishes right after that, and so on and so forth.
I didn't know about her.
Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. Well, she's mostly done a blog. Occasionally, she's done a few videos, which I definitely recommend checking out. She's like one of those insane people that she's done hundreds and hundreds of pages. And she's she's like, well, these aren't good enough, but I'm going to do it now.
Nice.
And she's, yeah, she does really good work, so definitely worth checking out. But yeah, it's not everybody has stuck with it, and it's called like a 100-day challenge for a good reason, because it's not easy, as you well know. We had a few people definitely say, okay, well, I'm going to school and trying to do this. It's not working out. I'm gonna quit and focus on school, which is totally understandable. But yeah, just a couple of people couldn't make it and just bailed out. I mean, Jonathan Rector and his friend Will Robinson, like, you know, Jonathan did like 3 days and bailed, and Will did one day and bailed.
Right.
It's not an easy thing to make a video and work on your comic and not be disrupted by life and day job or whatever you got going on. Mm. You know, I haven't posted, you know, like today's day 90. I haven't posted 90 videos. But I tried to do as many videos as possible, but I've kept, you know, I put in at least 30 minutes each day on either Bright Eyes or Neon Eden, or just, you know, sometimes it was as simple as, like, I got Manga Studio during my run and just practice on Manga Studio for hours and hours. So, you know, I've kept with it, and it may not be my pattern after I finish the 100 days, but I will focus more of my time on my creator-owned projects. And, you know, the whole thing, you know, that Kevin Cross really wanted to accomplish, and something he's still going for, is to make comics a good part of our career. And that's sort of my thing. Everybody has their own individual approach and what they're going to do with it. But I do want comics to be my full-time gig. And it hasn't always been the case. You know, sometimes I had a full-time job, you know, and done other things, whatever. You know, it's not easy always to make a living in art of any sort, you know. But I have a lot of long-range plans that I'm working on, so hopefully a lot of things will work out and work in my favor, and I can do this full-time. I mean, I'm doing it full-time now, but I'm scraping.
Right. Yeah, well, that's pretty cool, and I guess one thing that I think is interesting for me, it really taught me some things. Like, it kind of got me into a groove of kind of how it would feel to be more of a professional artist, because I've never actually done that yet, like, as far as, like, making a living, but even just the practice of just sitting down and doing art every single day was huge to me to learn that, and I want to get back on that. It's definitely a way different mode of creating than I've ever really experienced. But for you, that is something you have lots of experience already doing when you were, you know, doing this inking stuff. You know, I'm sure you were, from what you say, you were just at it, like, constantly and stuff, and really working hard to become good at that and everything. So, is there anything new that you've learned from this experience that from doing the 100 days?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, it's like art has been my career for a long, long time, but it's way different when I was an inker. It's way different to, like, you know, back then I was working on a portfolio of work. You know, like, I worked on a lot of independent comics, mostly to get my skills up, because I worked for pennies or nothing at times early on. And, you know, just went to conventions or try to meet up with publishers, editors, whatever, just to get my face in there and show them what I was, you know, working on lately. If you have published work, you know, as an ancient work, you know, if you have published work that really goes in your favor. So it was way different back then, because all I had to do was just keep working on that one skill, and it was very focused, and just keep pushing and keep connecting with editors and publishers, and you know, things would naturally fall into place, and I'd get my next gig and so on and so on. But now it's like, it's way different. I'm trying to create, write, pencil, ink, you know, eventually color. I'm doing lettering, and everything's like sort of like, I'm not a master of any of it. and I'm just learning a lot of new stuff, and trying to eventually, you know, become a publisher and get my own creations out there. So it's juggling a lot of different things, and it's been very difficult, because, you know, I try to focus on like coloring for a little while, and then I have to go back to writing and shift gears, and then penciling. And, you know, even though I've been an artist all my life, it's like really to pencil comic pages is really new to me. You know, it's something I've tried a couple of times years and years ago when I was much younger, to pencil my own comics. And it went really bad back then. and I haven't even kept that stuff. You know, it's like, I got a lot of knowledge, and it's just a matter of time before it reaches my hand and reaches the paper, you know, and, you know, where I can put it all together effectively. It's just, you know, it's just like anything. It's like practice, practice, practice. You just do it over and over, and, you know, I'm confident, like, when I was first became an inker, I was very confident that I would master it. And it took me a while to do that.
Right.
But, you know, it's like when I've attempted to previously, years ago, start my own webcomics, and it wasn't happening. And when I began the 100 Days of Making Comics, it was like, you know, right now I'm going to do this. I'm going to come out and finish pages and post them up. And I, you know, whatever it is at the moment, I've done like posted 7 pages or something like that with between the two comics. It may not be a lot, but I'm slow progress. And you know, it's only a matter of time. You know, maybe by page 20, maybe even by page 50, I'll be, you know, more a master of each individual skill, and maybe producing comics on a regular basis, and that's ultimately what I want to do. So by issue 2 or something, I'll perfect the skills, at least to, you know, where I could be happy with.
Right. So it's basically...
You know how it is.
Absolutely.
You've been producing your own pages and stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so basically what you'd be saying is it's helped you to kind of start really digging into some of these extra skills that you know, haven't really had a chance to really push into yet. So that's really cool. And I know it's kind of crazy. It's like chaotic to try to do all this stuff. I mean, not only that, but you're also doing, you know, all this podcasting and the Artcasters and all that stuff and Studio Synergy. And so, you know, you're just piling it on. So, do you find, that it's, I mean, as much as it's chaos, do you find that it's kind of almost better, or I don't know, is it a little bit freeing to be able to be like, okay, I don't feel like inking today, let me play with Mango Studio, or I don't feel like doing this today, let me work on some penciling or whatever? Do you like that going back and forth type of thing?
Yeah, you know, like when I was just inking, back when I was working for DC and Marvel and stuff, I felt an itch to do something else.
Right.
I felt like this is the ultimate place to be. I'm making decent money. I'm getting books published, you know, each month or thereabouts. In Wizard magazine, which was popular back when.
Right.
You know, it was really a great place to be, but it's like, well, this is not enough. It's you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm inking, but, you know, day one of deciding to do comics for a living, I saw inking as a way in. You know, that was my foot in the door. And it's only now that I'm getting to the place where, okay, I really just wanted to do everything. And it's like, that could be, you know, that could be everybody's original thought. There's plenty of creators I run into, like, oh yeah, I always wanted to do my own comics, and, you know, I have a family, I'm pretty busy with my schedule, I don't think I'll ever get to it, you know. That's a lot of people's reactions, mostly. But yeah, you know, when I take a step back from what I'm doing currently, it's like, how the hell am I accomplishing all this? You know, I am doing a lot, but, you know, things are taking a hit. Like my podcast, I haven't been keeping up with, and like my blog, which I'm not a regular blogger, but I have totally neglected that of late because my main focus is the 100 days. A spin-off of that is, you know, getting Studio Synergy back in gear and doing the Artcasters chats, which is very similar in format, starting that up, and really, you know, it was Jeff Lafferty who started this group on Facebook. I was already a fan of his work. I've become a closer friend of his. And he started the group, and I was like, you know, I just thought it needed something more than just a Facebook group. And I saw plenty of Facebook groups that were, well, that's okay. You know, this, you know, the members were growing, the art postings were happening, but I didn't see anything gelling between the people in the group.
Right.
You know, I know, like, you're a moderator on two of them. You're doing with the Ryan, what is it, Comic Projects and Sketch Daily.
Yep.
And I really like those groups. But I felt like something was lost of late. Like, the original group was awesome. And it was close-knit. And as it expanded, I lost sight of like who was in the group and who was really like running the show.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, I lost track of it too, to be honest. And, I mean, I like the group. It's like you said, it started off real good, but like at this point, I don't really know, honestly, even what to do with it, because it's just, it, like you said, there's so many people. There's kind of a lot of people more spamming than really being a community and stuff, and I don't know, it's kind of hard to be like, okay, let's kick everybody out or something. You know, so I don't know, it's just kind of going on, and maybe one day I'll have, you know, a whim of inspiration and make something out of it again. But, you know, you guys are doing the Artcasters and the hundreds and stuff, and, you know, I kind of spend some time in there instead, you know. So I think that's cool.
Yeah, you know, it's I mean, I'm citing that as an example, and I know the, you know, I'm a moderator on a group on Google Plus, Artlandia.
Yep.
And I've seen that happen there. Right. It's like the head of it left. You know, the head of it went to have a baby and spun off into making apps and other things. And she's probably has an excellent life, but the community, which was really tight when she was there, you know, is not that group anymore. It's not that tight-knit group. I seem to be the only moderator active there, which right. is sad. But so I've seen good examples. I'm only citing a few, but I mean, you know, I remember groups from MySpace, so I have a vast amount of experience with groups and like what works and what doesn't. So anyway, like when Jeff started ArtCasters, I just directly messaged him and was like, we need to do something more than the group itself. Otherwise, you know, otherwise it's not going to hold together as tightly. And I suggested the, I think the group chat was only one of a couple of suggestions.
Right.
But we tried a couple of things other than that, but we definitely started the weekly chats, which is a Google Plus Hangout. And it's done us really good. It's not like everybody from the group is going to the chats, but it's good way to meet a number of the members and to talk about art, to talk about the business of art, and to have it there. You know, every video we've done so far is part of a playlist. Anybody from the group or anybody anywhere can pretty much go and check them out and watch them and learn a little or have fun.
Absolutely, and I'm definitely glad you guys started doing that and you're paying attention to it and not just like letting it be just the little group thing. And it's kind of cool that we just kind of segued into this because that's our topic of conversation. Hey, we actually have a topic for once, which is community building and things like that. So, so that's really cool that you guys did that. Now, I was noticing, and not to pick apart the group or anything, but I'm just curious personally, because like a lot of people, you know, like you've noticed, I kind of dropped out of the scene for a little bit there, like almost a month-ish type a time because, you know, I just had a lot of stuff going on and I got kind of burnt out. But, you know, I did notice I went on there. I'm like, oh, you know, it's the end of the month and, you know, we got to do our little animal drawing or whatever. I was like, all right, well, I could pull something out of my hat. So I did a little locust drawing last night and threw it on there. But I was looking through the feed on the ArtCasters and I didn't notice any other animal stuff. So I was wondering if, like, is that still going on? Like, did that kind of fall out of place? And I think...
No.
Okay.
It is still going on. And, I mean, Jeff's in charge of that. Right. And what he does is, as each one is posted, he goes through them, copies, you know, who made them. And he puts it into one of his videos. I guess at the beginning of the next month.
Right.
So the this is the second art challenge in the ArtCasters group. The first one, I forget what video number, but he did his regular video and then at the end of it he showed all the pieces which were the first challenge was Star Wars.
Right.
So he showed all the art from the Star Wars channel. Together and mentioned who did them and maybe talk a little bit about some of them. So he's going to do the same thing with the animal challenge, which is going to be more challenging because I know there's actually a lot more people involved this month. There actually is a ton of people who did animals so Jeff has got a lot of work ahead of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, to look at the feed, you really have to go deep and really, you know, you only look at what's happening today or the last couple of days in our group feed anyway. Right. That's the good thing and the problem as well. It's hard to, I don't think there's like a calendar option where you could, you know, point on a calendar and say, you know, October 15th and see everything that was posted October 15th.
Right.
So it's really, you have to go digging in the feed, and that's the drag of it.
That's the problem with Facebook. It's crazy how a lot of us do a lot of activity on Facebook, and you kind of have to because that's where all the people are. That's where everybody is. But at the same time, Facebook doesn't really let you reach those people. So it's like, it's really kind of frustrating. And the same thing with the timelines. Like, they have a certain algorithm where certain things rise to the top and certain things get buried. And it's like, just let it go, you know, the way it's supposed to go. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, if you make a group and just, like, invite people and have them invite people and so on and so forth, it kind of has no purpose. Yeah. You know, Jeff made me moderator, and I think I do more moderating than he does at all. I don't think he does any moderating per se. You know, he set up the group, and he comments on as much stuff as he can along the way.
Yeah.
But I sort of went in and policed it a little bit because we did have a couple of spammers that I did kick out. I don't like to, you know, throw down a hammer, but I do want to keep, you know, being a part of the group and being like a bigger part of the group, I do want to keep a certain goodness to it that, you know, I don't want people spamming, and neither does the other members of the group. So,
spammers are easy to see, and, you know, you can kind of, I mean, it's not, I don't even look at it as that rude or anything to kick them out, because you can pretty much just kick them out, and they don't care because they just come in and spam anyways. They're not really trying to really be a part of it.
Yeah, so, they go to another 10 groups and spam there. So.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You know, I can understand that, like, you know, they're trying to, I guess, sell their work. And if it's seen by more people, then there's more of a chance of selling to more people. But that's not effective marketing when it comes down to it. And so, yeah, for a long time, I was mostly the only moderator. But I finally just suggested to Jeff that we get some other people involved because I'm not spending 7 days a week, 24 hours in the group, just moderating people. So we got a couple of other people, other artists within the group to be moderators as well. And so far, you know, the group is holding together. You know, we got 200 members plus at the moment. And, you know, it's growing slowly. We got the Artcasters chat. And we do have, above and beyond what's happening now, we do have plans for more things to make it more of something special.
Awesome.
You know, something more than just a group. So we'll see what develops. And you know, things, it's hard to keep a group tight, especially over longer and longer time. But so far we've been successful. And you know, like, you mentioned the topic being community. The 100 Days of Making Comics is also a community. And I'm trying to watch as many of those videos. And almost everything I watch, I try to comment on, right, even if it's like a great video. But usually I try to make it something more than that.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's because I want to see people continue with their 100 days. I want to see them finish their 100 days. And above and beyond that, you know, produce their comics,
right,
which is the whole point of the 100 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do the same thing. And there's been a couple times when I've watched the video and I'm like, I don't really know what to say to this video, but I want to leave a comment, but I, you know, so there's a couple times I kind of missed out, but I like to leave a comment also, even if I don't have much to say, just to let them know, you know, I watched, you know, and there's people watching, and I know, you know, being somebody who makes videos too, it's encouraging to see that, you know, even if they're the same people, it's still encouraging to say, okay, they're still keeping up with me, and that's really awesome that they're doing that, you know. So, you know, you kind of get that. But yeah, that's a big part of community building too, is that whole aspect of commenting, engaging in the whole thing. You got to have kind of that back and forth going on, or else the community is, like you said, just kind of people spamming each other with their stuff, you know, which it just, that just doesn't do anything. So it seems like you got to definitely have that, and you also have to have some like outside things that kind of complement the community. Like you're saying, you have the Artcasters chat, yeah. And then we have the challenge, so it's not just, you know, a bunch of people posting. And yeah, so that's pretty cool that you guys are nurturing that. I think the only thing it's weird, like, I don't know really the answer to this stuff, but, you know, it seems like the whole thing with community, it's great, we're trying to build a big community, but it tends to be like we're the same tribe, just like kind of migrating to different spots, you know what I mean, throughout the land of art, and once in a while we add like a member here, or some people kind of fall off, but I don't know, like, how do we like expand, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, what is our community? It's like, you know, I'm working towards building the Arcasus community, and you know, as a fact, that a lot of the 100 Days people have moved to that group and post in that group. To me, it's like a way of keeping them both together. Like, you know, a lot of the you and a number of the other 100 Days people have joined the chats and Studio Synergy hangouts I've done. How do you add? Well, I think we have to do something more than what we're doing virtually, is what it comes down to. You know, it's really about face-to-face meetings. And like I said, like me and Jeff have ideas in that direction, but that's nothing we can do now or even this year. It'll have to be, you know, past that. But, you know, it's like, there's a lot of, I see it from the perspective of, you know, the comic industry, where there's a lot of companies, you know, small publishers that are just virtual, that are just, you know, they promote online, they sell online, they talk to people online. They have to eventually go to conventions and meet people in person.
Right.
And that's how really they build them. They expand the audience and they build a tighter group of people. So, you know, because, you know, online and you know, it's people come, people go. I mean, that's the nature of it. And unless we're doing giveaways in our group, you know, everybody's just going to stick around. It's like, yeah, it's a nice group, but I have a life and, you know, I have other places to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think all that stuff complements each other, and it's kind of like with the music stuff I've noticed, you know, I've had a lot of hard time getting much traction with it, and I noticed the people who do well often are the people who do a lot of shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like some people, it's weird, like some people who do a lot of shows, it's almost impossible to find any kind of web presence from them. And then, and you see it with the comics too. I see people, you know, they have their little business card and they don't even have like an email or a website on there or something. And it's like, you know that it's like 2013, right? Like, like you kind of have to have that. And, or like they do, and I try to connect with them, and it's just, they're just not really online, you know? They have an email, but they don't spend any time there. So I think it's definitely important to have both and go back and forth. And I try to do that. So, yeah, no, but that's definitely interesting. And I think it's, yeah, I think you definitely do a really good job of nurturing that. I mean, even just in your own personal stuff, I don't see many people out there really, like, going out and reaching out to people and, you know, commenting on things, and that's a lot of work, and I try to do it, and sometimes I don't see a lot of other people doing it, but one person who is doing it pretty well is you. I see you reaching out to everybody, and that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, thanks. It is a lot of work, and it's a ton of work, and it's probably something I won't do as laser focused as I am now, you know, because I am part of the 100 days, and I'm goading everybody else on at the same time. It's, you know, it's like once I'm done, then you know, maybe I'll watch a few here and there and comment on those. But I know I'll keep in contact with the people. If it's not in that fashion, it will be maybe more directly. You know, maybe I'll see what they're doing on Facebook and comment there, and or just directly message people, which, you know, probably a lot less people do that because it's not seen by others. But but you know it. Yeah, it's a ton of work, and I when it comes right down to it, it's enough for me to be making my own videos. It's enough for me to be working on my own comics. You know, I don't, like you just mentioned, like there's successful people out there who have no like web presence. I could totally understand that. If you're meeting people face to face all the time, and your business is doing well enough or really good or whatever, and you don't have a web presence, that kind of makes sense, because having a web presence is a ton of work, I don't blame that at all. Yeah, it's like you want to be able to reach them, but you know, if people find other ways, you know,
right.
You can always find a way of getting in touch with somebody, but yeah. So I don't know exactly what I'll shift into afterwards. I know I do want to be still making videos on YouTube and making that a big part of my business. It will turn into a different kind of thing. You know, I won't be posting videos 7 days a week. It will probably be more like 5 days a week. I'm going to try to do more art videos, but I am still going to do the hangouts and have those videos, you know, posted every week. And then I'll do one day, maybe Fridays, where I'll talk specifically comics and give updates on my comics. I just, you know, I really believed in what Jeff was doing, which is why I sort of incorporated myself into what he was doing and made that something more. And I totally, you know, like, I've been a fan of Kevin Cross's work, and his struggle along the way, and saw the genius of what he did day one with 100 days, and knew I wanted to be a part of that. And so in my small little way, I'm trying to make that something more than a passing fad.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that was for everybody, for the most part, you know, Kevin was a big inspiration, especially with the 100 Days. And I think it's really cool that we've all kind of found a new outlet with YouTube, you know. I mean, I think a lot of us all tried to do some YouTube stuff, but this 100 Days thing really got us all kind of seeing some more stuff we could do with it, you know. And I think challenges are kind of a big deal, like just trying to do some little different challenges that come up. This one's kind of a tough one, a big one. Some of them are tougher than others. I think I'm going to be probably doing the Inktober one, which I think is probably a somewhat simple one. It's definitely easier than 30 days of characters or whatever. That one's really tough because you have to create a whole character. The Inktober, you can really just draw anything, and I'm probably going to be messing with ink anyways every day for the most part, just because it's fun and just in my sketchbook or whatever. So it's really not too big a deal, I'm thinking. But yeah, I think the challenges are definitely a good way to create content and stuff.
I never thought, you know, of myself as somebody who would do this kind of stuff. But just seeing other artists and creators involved in stuff like 100 Days of Making Comics or Inktober or 30 Days of Making Comics. Characters, what was it?
Yeah, 30 characters, you know, in 30 days.
Yeah, 30 characters, 30 days. All these things, you know, I tried that myself, and I think I did 10, 15, maybe? I don't know.
Right.
It was fun while I was able to do it. Then I fell off. But I think it was, like, Scott Zirklin who said, it's not a matter of if you complete it. It's a matter of being a part of it for however long you can be a part of it, to try. And I totally agree with that. You know, it's not a matter of if you do the 100 Days of Making Comics, whether you complete it or not. It's just give it a shot and have the experience of doing it for however long you can do it. I think and believe that will make a difference in you going for something. And like you just said, you know, Inktober is coming up, which was created by Jake Parker. I'm going to attempt to do that myself. I'm going to try to do the whole thing, but however long I could do it, I'm curious to see, you know, how that develops.
Even on his page, I was reading it the other day, he even says, you know, you don't have to do it every day or anything. You could do it, like, every other day, or you can do, like, you know, for half of the time or something like that. It's just like you were saying, just trying it, you know, is a good thing, and being part of the community doing it. So yeah, I totally agree with that too. I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm not finished yet. But I'm definitely gonna I'm committed to doing the 100 days. I didn't, even from the beginning, like, I kind of just did it because I'm like, well, I'm making comics anyways, so I might as well do this and be a part of it. And, you know, obviously Kevin's stuff got me excited about it. And then, but even from the beginning, I was never thinking I was going to do it, like, literally 100 straight days. I'm like, I'm going to do it as much as I can, you know? And I think it's funny because I started it before all of you, actually, except for Kevin and maybe one or two other people. And you guys blew past me pretty quickly.
Yeah, but, you know, it's some people are taking a different approach. There's one girl, Emmy, who has been doing webcomics for years. She does a comic, Trying Human. She's phenomenal. She became part of the 100 Days, but she's like, every video is the next day. So it's not 100 days in a row. It's 100 separate days.
That's how pretty much how I'm doing it.
Yeah, so it's like she's trying to do 30-minute videos, or, you know, or loosely that, and 100 days of them. You know, she's essentially recreating earlier pages in her strip, so redrawing pages and spending 30 minutes per video. And yeah, so she's definitely one, like, if you want to learn a lot, you can learn a lot by watching her videos.
Cool,
you know,
what's
Kevin,
her name again?
It's, her YouTube name is Introducing Emmy, E-M-Y. Okay. I believe her name is Emmy Binther, but Trying Human. If you look up Trying Human, you'll probably find her website. She's on YouTube now, she's on, Patreon, she's got that going. She's on Topastic with her webcomic, and as well as TryNewman.com, I believe. So, like, this, you know, I'm trying to, like, encourage new people to join it as well. And a lot more people say they're going to do it than actually do it.
Right.
But, you know, we've had a few additions, you know, it's something Kevin did, so I haven't really spoken to him directly. It's up to him what he does.
Right.
I'm doing my 100 days, and like I said, you know, mostly I'm going to worry about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's cool, and I think that's another kind of aspect of the whole community building a community situation is, like, it's not necessarily being part of one community, even though in some ways we are all part of one community, but you know, it's kind of being part of a lot of different communities and melding that together, I guess, and into your own experience, I guess. And it's tough, though. Because, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, all these different sites, we got Twitter, that's a community, you know, Facebook, you know, YouTube is very community-based. And actually, you know, what's interesting is I think being involved in all these online things, people are always often, they talk about how, you know, some people are so focused on the internet that it's almost like they're not living real life or something like that. And there's a lot of criticism that gets thrown around with that kind of thing. But I actually think that it pushes people out more because people are being much, I mean, even your general public, a lot of people, there's still a lot of people who are like, no, I don't even mess with the internet too much. But it's more and more that the general public is pretty much, you know, locked into their iPhone constantly and things like that. But I think it's actually pushing people out more. Like, I can't believe how many more comic book conventions there are in my area. And I keep hearing that from a lot of people in their areas. There's a lot of comic book conventions popping up. And I also see a lot of other events, and I think it causes people to want, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm on the internet a lot, it's fun, whatever, but it almost makes you, like, you feel the need to get out, you know, to get out of the house. And not only that, but there's things going on. Like, I just see a lot of conventions, period. Like, my wife is into the makeup stuff. I talk about that a lot, and she's telling me about all these makeup events that are out there, and I hear from different communities that have nothing to do with comics, same thing, a lot of people, a lot of different events going on. I think it actually helps, you know, people get out of their house, you know, because it's different than, it's different to me than just sitting home and vegging out on TV, watching TV. I mean, how long has that been a thing, you know? Yeah. But the internet, you are communicating with actual people. And I mean, it's weird. Like, I tell people, like, I mean, recently, like, if anybody's paying attention to my stuff, you know that a friend of mine had passed away, unfortunately, within the music hip hop community. And, you know, I put out a little EP or whatever to raise some money for the family, because he left behind a young son and wife. And it's just crazy because he's so young. But I keep telling people sometimes, like in real life, I'm telling people, you know, oh, my friend just died. But then I forget, you know, I actually never actually met the guy. But, you know, I have, because I've talked to him on the phone and you know, through internet. I think that's just pretty much as valid. And I mean, there's people, I have my buddy Will, who I talk about a lot on my podcast, who comes over. We hang out like once every couple months or 2 or 3 months. You know, he lives in Long Island, New York. But, you know, we hang out. And that way, I wouldn't have had that friendship if it wasn't for my wife connecting with his girlfriend through the makeup videos, you know, online. And now me and him are like real good friends. It's crazy. So like, I don't know, like there's so many connections I've made. I've met, especially with the music, because that was what I was pushing a lot with. I mean, my crew, Shadow of the Locust, I mean, they're almost all on the West Coast, you know, but I've met a bunch of them and we've done events together and things like that. And I mean, I've gone to places I never maybe would have even gone because of all this internet activity, you know? So, and I hope to go to more. I wish I had more money. I'd freaking, you know, fly out to some of you guys' places or something and do like a convention or something. Kids Read Comics. I've been wanting to go to that forever. I'm surprised I haven't made it out there yet, you know? So, you know, I think it actually encourages things, you know, the community and in the physical as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like I'm in a part of the world that I don't see anybody really, except I ran into who is known as Justin 5000 online. It was kind of really random, you know. I was out in Louisville, and now I'm in Campbellsville, and he, you know, he's in Lexington. I never in my life thought I would run into him, and you know, we did a bunch of live things together at a movie theater, and even a small comic convention. And he's a great guy, and you know, it's true. It's like you were saying, like, you know, online is a connection. You know, it is a valid connection. Just like, you know, people who only talk on the phone, a connection is a connection.
Right.
You know, and you know, a lot of my friends I've made over the years have been only online, and eventually, some I'll meet, some maybe I'll never meet, but, you know, it's all valid to me. I remember years ago, I was hanging with a girl, and we were friends, and, you know, she was in New York, and I was in New York. Then I moved to Bard, Kentucky, and we literally talked on the phone every day. And at some point I was like, you know, we kind of like have a relationship. We're talking every day.
Right.
And she's like, no, we're just talking on the phone. It's not valid. I was like, well, you know, we met each other a while back. We were in person and meeting each other and hanging out. And she was like, well, that was back then. This is now, you know. I just didn't get that. It's for me, it's like talking on the phone was valid. Like we were, you know, we were getting really intimate in our conversations, and
right.
It's like, you know, I'm saying words to you. How could that not be valid?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it's all, I mean, that's really what it's all about, even in physical relationships and stuff. And, you know, even with like dating, it's funny that like, people will always talk about, you know, they might criticize, like, online dating or something, and I'm like, okay, so you have the scenario where you go on this, like, website or whatever, you connect with a person or whatever, and you start having conversations, whether it's text or whatever. Eventually, you know, maybe you're talking on the phone, maybe you even have, like, a Skype call eventually. And then maybe one day you decide to actually meet each other physically, as, you know, go out somewhere or whatever. I mean, to me, that sounds a lot more better and a lot more safe than, let's have a blind date. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a lot of, you know, dates in person wind up as you know, one-night stands or God knows what. But,
right.
You know, what you just explained is exactly how I met Lisa, who I'm engaged to now. I met her online. We chatted, and then we talked on the phone for a little bit. Then we had our first date, and you know, from that we became a couple. I thought that, you know, I never pictured myself having a relationship in that fashion, but big deal, it worked, and we clicked, and a great thing came out of it. As do, you know, most of my really good friendships online. You know, we may not talk to each other and communicate every day of the week, but I've known people for years, and we've commented and critiqued and whatever else, you know, throughout the time. And, you know, I consider a lot of people, you know, I'm really close to, and I keep tabs of what they're up to, what's going on in their lives, and I feel personally involved, you know.
Right.
My heartstrings go out to them when shit hits the fan, you know. it's as real to me as anything, so.
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, and I've not, and it's crazy because a lot of my physical friendships aren't really even that intimate. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there are some that kind of are, but, you know, there's a lot of people you become friends with and you just kind of BS about and talk about the weather, you know, but how much further does it go beyond that? But somehow with internet, you know, people kind of put their soul out there a little bit, you know, with their videos or with their podcasts or whatever, and you get to actually know people a little better, you know, and you talk about things that you might not ever talk about with a friend, you know, a friend that you just kind of know from work or something, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely interesting how the dynamics are different, and you hear a lot of criticism, but that criticism doesn't seem to really stand up with the experience, you know, at least in my opinion, you know.
Yeah, there is one other thing I should mention, as far as building community and whatnot. There is one new thing I'm doing, which is I have a group of people I get together with on Skype twice mm-hmm. a week now. It's very new, but it's something I attempted previously, you know, like get together with fellow comic creators once, twice a week, and talk with them, not recorded, not, you know, video, just audio as we work or sketch or whatever. And, you know, the objective to that is to get to know these people better, to, you know, we're working towards the same goals, helping each other out, you know, kind of really having a closer relationship than we would otherwise. Right. And, you know, I've only done it a couple of times so far, maybe 2 weeks, and I'm liking the new group. You know, the group is maybe 6 people, 7 people, something like that, as a whole. But sometimes it's just 3 of us. You know, it's whoever can make it out. And I'm finding that really useful. I mean, the whole idea behind the Hangouts is I need something I'm not getting. And that is, I'm not, you know, where I am is a very small town. There's not even really artists that I know of, but I need to connect with other artists, And, you know, because we have similar struggles. We have, you know, trying to achieve a business out of this and whatnot. It's not an easy thing. And I need that connection, you know. And I'm not, you know, this past year I haven't been doing conventions. So I don't meet people that way. So I thought the hangouts, doing them on some sort of regular basis would give me that. You know, it's also the same thing I get from doing interviews. I get that sort of energy boost, motivation, you know, commitment to what I'm doing from this. And, you know, to put together this weekly Skype group is another way and another boost to my motivation. Nothing drives me more than to be doing this with other people. You know, it's not my personal struggle, it's we're in it together kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a lot of time, I mean forever, I guess, I don't know, like there's, you know, a lot of people call them like mastermind groups, or I think there's a lot of other names, and I've actually been thinking about trying to build one myself within the local, you know, physical community from where I'm at. And there's, cause there's a lot of creators in this area actually. And, I'm starting to get to know them, but I haven't been around as much. So I don't think they're really aware of me as they would be of some of the other people. And so it's kind of hard for me to be the guy who organizes it, cause they don't really know me that well, but I'm hoping to kind of get it started, and maybe I can get some people who are a little more connected into it to help me with it. But, you know, I think it is important to have that, the community that isn't necessarily public also. And I have my little version of that with Facebook messaging tends to be the one, but any of these direct messaging things on any of these platforms, I've spent a lot of time connecting with some people behind that, and it's funny because some stuff, like the biggest probably one is my buddy Michael Vallad, and where he actually lives like less than 10 minutes away from me, so we connect physically and you know, online. And but a lot of times me and him will do a lot of Facebook messaging back and forth, and it's like, it's funny because sometimes I'm like, I wonder why I'm not sharing this, you know, like I do with everything else, you know, just right on my profile. But I don't know, it's kind of cool to have a few little things that we just kind of share back and forth. So I don't know, there's that, and there's been a lot of other people I've done that with. I've done that with you and you know, just a lot of these people within our same community. And I find that does kind of help reinforce it. I don't know what it is with having it a little bit private, but I guess there's, you can have a little bit less of a filter or something like that. And yeah, I think that's a great idea though, doing that with what you're saying with the Skype chats and stuff. And you know, I might need to pursue something like that myself.
Yeah. You're welcome to join it, man. I probably know 10 people just off the top of my head I would invite to it. But I don't want to like bug everybody and add to their already busy schedule at the same time. I absolutely. I mean, you're one of the original people I thought of. But you know, I know you disappeared for a while, so I didn't mention it. But yeah, it's more intimate. It's like, yeah, you don't have to worry about filtering what you're doing, saying, putting out there. But you know, it's, even if we're talking about the same things, like as we do publicly, using the same words and whatever. I mean, you know, I consider like personal messaging talking to that person. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to you. You know, even if the same exact content or whatever, because I mean, more than anything, that's important. I mean, that's why a lot of us wind up with spouses and whatnot. You know, we need that personal connection. I don't want to sleep with everybody. I want to sleep with you.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's definitely an important part to life. I mean, even just to the basic foundation of things with, you know, like they've had studies, or I don't know if it's studies or just observations of people who have unfortunately had to grow, you know, they were born and they grew up in some kind of circumstance where they didn't get hardly any, you know, even just physical touch, you know, obviously when you're a parent, you're constantly holding the baby and taking care of them in so many different ways. And, you know, there's been studies of people who have been born, and sometimes they just, like, literally die. Like, just touch is, like, an important part of life. You need, as human beings, you know, animals don't need it as much, you know, but human beings, they really need that nurturing. And it's the same thing with not just touch, but just conversation and just the other aspects of relationship. So yeah, it's interesting how the community kind of expands and compresses in different ways, and all those things are very important. And you know, I wonder too, I'm thinking about like your group you're talking about. I mean, for me, it seems like I can't schedule anything. Like even this podcast was like, okay, I happen to have like 3 hours here, let's get this podcast done, you know. It's impossible for me to like schedule things. Even like the Artcasters and Studio Synergy, it's like I just look at the dates and I'm like, I don't know if I can schedule it, but then I'll like message you like, you know, an hour early. I think I can make it. So I just do that. But I was wondering, like, with this new group you're doing, do you do anything structured at all with it, or is it just, you know, you get online and you talk?
Well, it's very much like it's the same time, it's twice a week, and, you know, it's structured in that sense. You know, those that can make it will make it, those that can't, you know, don't show up. And as far as like what the conversation is about, or you know, I want to achieve something with the group. I want it to be positive. I want it to be productive. I want it to be helpful. You know, but if we spend a whole night talking about movies, then we spend a whole night talking about movies. But we're connecting, and we're getting to know each other through that. I mean, right. Just like friends do, you know.
Yep.
So in that sense, I mean, that's productive.
Cool. Yeah. No. The reason I asked is because even with the one I'm thinking of, with the people that live nearby me, you know. There is something to that whole just kind of BSing and farting around and talking and stuff. But I also really, I feel the need as well, like you're talking about, to have something not like super structured, but something where on the business side of things, there's a different level of support. Meaning, and even as simple as, you know, let's go over each other's goals, you know, like, and right. I'm thinking more almost of a monthly meeting type of thing where it's like, right. Okay, you know, this is what you set out to do last month. Did you do it? You know,
yeah.
Type of thing. Cause right. I know I could use that accountability.
Right.
I can't focus worth crap. So,
I know we both have thought along similar lines and thought about that exactly. I thought of something like putting a group of people together, sort of like a call out society, you know, where we focus on one member and say, well, this is what you wanted to achieve, and this is what you're actually doing, and what you should be doing is this.
Right.
Yeah, I thought along those lines, and you know, it's like Oh, that makes positively 100% sense. You know, it's just a matter of putting it together. And I was thinking, like, when you were talking about before, you know, what it takes to form a community is for one person to connect with another person, and that's a community, you know, and it builds from there. So anything you want to start, you don't have to say, okay, I really want to get together with those 10 people. No, you just connect with one and expand from there. You know, get the foundation in, and people will see that and say, hey, I want to join, and it will right. expand.
I think you're absolutely right about that, and that's what I need to do as far as this, you know, this local community thing. And that's actually where my head has been heading within the last week or so. So I think that's definitely going to be something that starts to happen. So yeah, no, it's good. It's good to hear that confirmation though. And so yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think we kind of circled around this topic pretty good and gotten to some things. We're definitely hitting around an hour-ish here. So was there anything else that you thought about that maybe you wanted to add to this whole idea of community or things you wanted to touch on before we close it out?
I think we dug in pretty deeply here. Covered a lot. You know, building community isn't easy, and it's never one thing, it, you know, for a long period of time. It's always an evolving thing, you know, whether expanding in numbers and shrinking in numbers or diverting it, you know, the focus of it or whatever. It's more like what's the core idea behind it. You know, like with Artcasters, it's about artists showing off their work, improving, you know, when it comes down to the basics of it, you know, that's what everybody in the group is trying to do, you know, to be seen, to improve their work, to, you know, get tips or share tips or, you know, stuff like that, process and whatnot. So yeah, whatever kind of community you're a part of or trying to build or want to build, have that basic idea behind it, and it will carry it through its time, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So having it be an evolving thing, so and kind of growing naturally, that's definitely an interesting aspect to it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. So yeah, I think we got a podcast on our hands. I guess you know, we can talk a little bit after, but you know, just to kind of close it out, let's you know, to shout out your sites and everything again, and yeah,
sure.
And we'll close it out.
I'm basically everywhere, and if you Google Peter Palmiotti, you could find me. Eventually I'll get my website up, and that's humanartstudio.com. But yeah, I'm Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube, Pinterest, Blogger, what am I missing, DeviantArt, you know, a little bit of everything. You can find me everywhere, as I say in my videos.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, check out Peter Palmiotti's stuff. You know, really awesome anchor and everything. And obviously he's been expanding into a lot of other parts of comic book making, which I'm really looking forward to seeing more of. And he's also got, I'm sure you got some stuff on eBay too, right?
Well, I'm on eBay. I don't currently have any stuff on there, but okay. I do have a store, which is Store Envy. I mean, basically, if you go to Store Envy and type in Human Art Studio, I think you'll find my store there. So I have some art I've done, and I actually have a pre-order of Bright Eyes, which is a sort of a limited edition artist pack of the first issue, if you're interested in ordering it now and getting it next year.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I'll put a link of that in the show notes specifically. I think that's probably a good place to point people.
Cool.
And obviously, whatever other sites you have, I'll put in there. But cool. So yeah, good conversation, man. Thanks again for coming on, and you know, being a good friend too. You know, thanks for that.
My pleasure. I think this is an awesome podcast, and I always love listening to your podcasts. And you really cover different, you know, similar territory from a different perspective, and I appreciate your hard work, because I know you put in your time for this stuff. So, and great to be a friend, man.
Awesome.
It's my privilege.
thank you, and cool, man. So we'll close this out. Thanks everybody for listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. This one's a wrap. You can check out everything, the show notes and everything, at DonkeyJawProjects.com. And we will see you next week on the next Escape Artist Podcast. Later.
Background music provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at DonkeyJawProjects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to Patreon.com/Plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.